Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August the 15th, 2026, Season 20, Episode 25. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome in, everybody, as we get set to do another episode of the program. We are on Discord right now, so you can jump over there if you'd like to, but you can also go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us, whether you want to find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can also find us on Blue Sky over there as well. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. Streaming right now over on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. Search for In-Game Chat. You'll be able to find us. You'll be able to watch us. You'll be able to join in the chat room live while we broadcast as well. So, welcome aboard, everybody. RJ, what you been playing, my friend?
Well, a little bit of MLB The Show, trying to get through another season of a franchise that I've started with some custom players and things of that nature. I did an update for Grand Theft Auto Online, and this week has been horrible in terms of new stuff and things to pursue. It's pretty much more of the same. Maybe little bonuses here and there, little discounts, but they're discounts on stuff that I already own. So that's I'm not going to get any benefit out of that.
Nothing. Yeah.
Really, the only new thing in that game is really the Core Center heist, and I haven't done that yet. But with the nerfs that has been going on with all the other heists in the game, this is pretty much no different. You know, I think I mentioned it before. They gave a bonus to your first run through of the heist during the week. You do it the first time. The most you're going to get out of it is the first run through for the week. And if you want to get the max benefit again, you got to wait a week. So that stopped the grind of doing the heist multiple times in a day to get the most money out of it. So, like we said before, they made it more tedious than anything else. Before I got here, I just did the league play for Virtua Fighter 5 in the Akai Leagues. So that was a good time doing that. So we get two leagues in, so I was able to get some matchup knowledge and things of that nature. Also did a bit of the Division 2. I was playing with some friends of mine, and I tried to do that benefits and awards for linking your account to Twitch. Yeah, I know there was some stuff like that before, but I never really never had the really inclination or desire to go into that thing with linking accounts and all this stuff, you know, adding more passwords and things to have to remember and whatnot. Sure. So I finally did that, but I linked them up. I claimed my rewards, but I haven't got them yet. They said it may take 24 to 48 hours to do so, or it may take a week on some things. So I'm just waiting to see if my account went through. I think some things have, but not too much. But outside of that, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing most of this week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, it's been Snap, really, just playing through Snap. And did I play anything new on the PC? I did not. Cast and Chill, I played some more of that, but not too much more of it. And Spider-Man 2 on PlayStation 5. Which apparently a lot of people are doing as well, because, well, obviously the movie, Brand New Day, that was released in theaters, some analytics showed that Spider-Man 2 sold another 316,000 copies since the release of the new Spider-Man film, what, like 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 weeks ago, I guess. Generating $11 million across PlayStation 5 and Steam in less than 2 weeks. This past weekend, it saw 1 million daily active users for the first time since launch week, or roughly 2.6 times its pre-film daily engagement. Not bad for a game that first launched 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I am getting close to, I say I'm getting close to finishing it. I'm not exactly sure, but I've really moved forward in that story a lot, mainly because I have nothing, there's no optimal missions for me to do.
You did all the side missions, right? You were building,
right.
Up, your
You're
building up your skills with the side missions. Over there,
normally,
right?
What you would have, and normally what, and I say a regular player, I'm not sure if people do it my way or just do it. I mean, everybody plays the game their own way, but normally you may do one little side mission and not even finish that whole mission. Just do one mission, submission within it, you know, and then continue back to the story or something. Eventually, your whole New York City map is populated with things to do. You know, you don't have to do story. I can go do something over here. I can go do this. There's just tons of stuff for you to do. Not in my case. It is right now, it is steam train story right now, because it is just story mission after story mission after story. Nothing has unlocked yet for me to do. I know there are other things to unlock. They are currently locked. I cannot do them. So I know, I guess, as I advance the story, they will. I hope it's not something that unlocks after you finish the main story.
Yeah, you might.
There's been some times when that's done that. I'm not
plenty
a fan of that.
Yes, yeah, plenty of times.
Because my motivation is gone.
Yeah, motivation to play the game a little more or something like that, or the DLC afterwards, things like that. Yeah.
My motivation in games like this is to max out my XP. I say max out my XP, but max out the my abilities and skills and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a whole tree of things and you need XP points and all these other things to advance them. And the reason that I do everything that I do is because I want to max those out prior to story end, with the exception of maybe there's one or two. And I mean, when I say that, I'm literally saying one or two things. If there's like five, I won't mess with it. Mm-hmm. But if there's like one or two things I can finish up even after the story's over with, I'll knock that out.
Okay.
I'll do that. But don't give me too much more than that, because my motivation is very slim.
Do you play Spider-Man the same way you do Batman?
Well, I mean, I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about clearing out side missions first, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
That is exactly how I play it.
Yeah, because I think the way I've played games like that is basically like I think I do with Fallout. Like, play the main missions and everything, go as far as you can, and then do a bunch of side missions till you can open something up again. Just keep plugging away until you do that. It wasn't really about stats and things like that. It was like certain things I could pick that benefited the way I played in Fallout, and I just stuck with that. And I wasn't really searching for any maxing out all the perks and stats and whatever. It was just basically going as far as I could with the story until something blocked me or whatever, like something I couldn't handle. I need to level up more. So do a bunch of side missions and get some more stats and go back into it.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. But I don't think in story modes and things like that, it was just about completion. Side stuff, really. It was just how I felt at the time. Because, like I said, with Batman, those Riddler trophies, that's something to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so tedious to me. I said, no, I don't need that. Just finish with the story. Because it didn't affect it anyway. I mean, there was a little part at the end, but like I said,
but that didn't affect the overall story or anything. That was just a nice little thing for you in case you did go through that.
Yeah.
But what those side missions that you're talking about, Riddler trophies, things, what they did afford me was XP or points to spend in my upgrade path. You know, it was more, I hesitate to call it in-game currency, but in a way, in a game like that, that is your currency, because it costs this many points to upgrade your vehicle or to upgrade your gadget or to upgrade whatever this stuff is. So I would do those, mainly because I'm more of a completionist on those than anything else, but because it also gives me access to points that I can spend to unlock more things.
You know, something else was like that? Infamous. I distinctly remember, I distinctly remember having only like 7 diodes across the top of the screen when most everyone had like 10 or 15 or a whole bunch like that. I think it was like 2 skills in that game that I needed, and I could get through the whole game with just those 2 skills.
You could.
I mean, it certainly helped with charging up my skills, because all I had to do was like shoot a car or something metallic up 3 or 4 times, and then absorb the energy out of that, and that would refill my diodes completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just go on through the game like that. So it wasn't really necessary to take the time to get all those fragments to increase your skill, because two was all you really needed in there.
I mean,
I think they addressed it later on.
Yeah, with Infamous, I was I think you're right, they did.
Yeah.
With Infamous, I was the same way as that. I was like, you know, I'm going to max out my good side, because you had the option of being a, you know, good or evil type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, side note, the evil playthrough was way more fun than the good playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because you don't have to meticulously worry about what you're doing.
You had to hold back in the good side. And then I ran the good side. I didn't do the evil side. But the evil side, you don't have to hold back anything. You just
In the good side, you had to be careful not to damage civilians and all this other stuff. And you just didn't want people getting in the way. And on the evil side, it just did not matter. Which made it more enjoyable, to be honest with you, to not have to worry about those things. And, you know, the more civilians I killed, the better, because it increased my evil meter or whatever it was. I'm not sure. But, it was more of a sense. Now, that's different than, and I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but that's different than, Dante's Inferno. You had a good and an evil, but that was based on your choices during kills and things like that. There was a certain...
Saving souls
And that was with every enemy you came across. It wasn't specific enemies or anything like that. Every enemy you came across, if you got them to a certain... level of health, you could do what it's not a finisher, but you could do like a judgment on every single enemy that you came
punish
across.
Or absolvement or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You could absolve them or you could punish them, and of course, if you go the absolve route, then you go the good route, I guess you could say, and then you could do the punishment. But my point being is that you just made a choice. It wasn't anything that was affected by the way you played the game or how you did your combat or anything like that. It was, you got to a point, is it yes or no? Whereas Infamous was, I'm out here beating up the bad guys. I hope I don't hurt any good guys that are around me type of thing. And you had to be careful about that. You had to be, you know, whatever. In Star Wars The Old Republic, playing as a Republic commando or whatever on the good side. It didn't matter, again, the missions that you had. It was choices in conversation that you made. So it wasn't necessarily about the combat, whereas Infamous was very much about the combat. Infamous Second Son, I don't remember if that had a good side, bad side. I think it did. But I do remember Infamous Second Son was another one where, regardless of how much I built up my abilities, I didn't get the last ability until the final boss fight. That's how you earn that last ability, was going through the final boss fight. And then it's like, you gave me every single power I needed, but then you ended the game the moment I got it.
Yeah.
Now, it's an open world game, so I could continue playing on, but my motivation to continue, what is the point?
I would have loved to have this during the story mode.
I really haven't played a game that's done something like that since, but I imagine it exists. I just haven't played. My gaming habit lately, and I don't even mean lately, I mean over the past couple of years, has been very seldom story single player games in a sense. And I don't necessarily know if it's because I've held off from buying those. Like, I want to play James Bond First Light, you know? But I will wait until that hits a discount, you know, much more discounted than what it is.
You going to watch it on YouTube?
No, I won't do that. No,
okay.
Because I do intend to play it.
All right.
So I have no desire to watch it on YouTube. The things I will watch on YouTube are games where I'm curious if I'm going to like it or not. The Bond game I'm okay with, because I will pay that a cheap price and I will have a single player experience that I'll enjoy. I'm almost positive, considering what I've seen of the reviews. I trust that those reviews on a single player type title are, yeah, I can do that. That's fine. Word of mouth as well, with people that I've read on forums and things like that. Whereas if you take something like Star Wars Outlaws, that game's like $11 now. I'm okay with its shortcomings paying $11 to play it.
As opposed to 70.
As opposed to 70 when it released. I was excited for it, but when it released, I heard things about bugs. I heard things about, it's not that great. They apparently went back and did some fixes, not just technically, but also gameplay-wise as well. Mm-hmm. They went back and did some fixes, and that was great.
I think it was horrible AI.
Yeah, it was something.
It was really bad.
There were some issues
AI in that game.
That they eventually went back and they fixed. So it'll be nice that whenever I get around to it, I didn't watch any YouTube videos. I didn't, but it's there for me at $11. I can play it, no problem.
Yeah.
The games that I'll watch videos on, well, I watch videos of Snap because I look for decks. You know how people build their decks, because each week they release a new card, and at the end of the week they have a bounty on that card where you have to win so many games with that card in your deck. Now, every card they release each week may not be an archetype of a deck that you play. It may not fit into decks that you play with. It also may be something that's a mystery to you on how to play it. Like, how does this synergize well with all these other cards? Well, that's for the people on YouTube to figure out and for me to just copy their homework, essentially. That's what it's there for. So I find a deck at the end of the week with the new card, plug it in there, knock out my wins, delete the deck because I'll likely never play it again. because it is specific to help wins with that card.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a specific that feels like it's fun to play. Mm. So
it sounds like handicap yourself and win.
In a sense, yeah. So you need 4 wins on the new card, and then you need 8 wins each week with the monthly card that gets released that comes with, like, the season pass type thing. So whatever. It's fine. I've got a deck that can do both things that I need. That's not a big deal. But the other stuff that I'll watch are, currently I have 3 games in my cart on Steam right now. Mm-hmm. One is called Pegfinity. Okay. It's like $5. It looks like Peggle, but it also looks like it's got roguelike aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you get enough points through one round, you can pick a... you can choose between like 3 options to make the pegs cost this much more or score this much more. Or anytime this happens, you get double these points. You know, it's just, it's one of those little things that you can do. It's $5. I didn't look up a video on it, but I also haven't bought the game yet. But it's, again, $5.
Yeah.
Then there's 2 other games that I'm kind of curious on. Again, they're roguelites. And I bet if AC Wraith is in there. Now we got to talk about that AI stuff. AC Wraith is in there. I'm looking at Cult of Pin, which is a pinball roguelike or roguelite. I'm not sure exactly which one's which, but it's pinball. And when you defeat the thing that's on the playing field, or score whatever you got to have to score, you move up to level 2. And when you move up to level 2, you can increase bumper points, or you can increase shields around bumpers or something. There's all these different things that you can do. You know, you pick a free upgrade type thing when you do that, and you just see how far you can go. And there's another one that's very, very similar. And hopefully AC Wraith can tell me, or I can just go to my Steam page and find out which one it is, which I'm doing right now. Where is my cart? There's my cart. What is it? What do we got? Runix. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Runix, which is a pinball roguelike, is what that one's called. And with Runix, it is a roguelike 3D pinball game where you build your ball deck to hit and slay monsters with incredible combos and climb to the top of the leaderboard. Discover powerful artifacts that create incredible synergies and increase your mage powers to restore the pinball order. So Runix is one that I'm looking at. They're actually in kind of a bundle right now. You can get both Runix and Cult of Pin. So I'm kind of looking at those on the... Yeah. There are a few... Yeah, AC Wraith says there's a few pinball-related roguelites out right now. There's also one called Pinkeep. AC Wraith, coming up Monday on Steam, it is their Pegs and Pins Fest. So there'll be a. That's why I think most of what I'm looking at right now is currently on sale. But yeah, they're doing a whole thing for Pegs and Pens Fest coming up on Monday on Steam, where they'll have sales or deals, and they'll highlight, you know, games like that sort of thing. So, but yeah, those are things that I'll watch videos on because I haven't seen those games. I don't know. There's actually demos for some of them, but I just wanted to look at a video to be like, what does this look like? How does it play? And it doesn't take me long to like look at a video and be like, that looks fun. I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas, especially with games like that, but whereas something like Star Wars Outlaws, or like Galactic Racer, they've been showing some preview videos of. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is I'm sold. Mm-hmm. You know, there's very little the pedigree of the people who have made it, the videos that we've seen that have been released so far. I'm in. Wolverine for PlayStation 5. I'm in. Am I in day one on Wolverine? Maybe not. I don't know. Because it's a solely single player experience.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to get it right now at a $70 price tag?
Yeah, true.
When I can wait.
And it gives you an opportunity to see if there's any thing in there that'll drive you up the wall with errors or whatnot.
Insomniac's okay. I mean, their Spider-Man game was fine. Their Spider-Man 2, they've been all right. Mm-hmm. With their releases, again going back to the pedigree of the devs,
yeah,
their history of releasing workable games, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying, things that are very very bug free,
yeah,
is pretty good up mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah, but I think we've also talked about it before that there's not a lot of titles that you want that make you want to jump out and go day one on. I mean, there's few.
There's not.
Yeah.
There's another
not as,
one.
Not as much as it used to be.
Yeah, there's another one coming up. Star Wars. Somebody's going to tell me. It's that XCOM thing. And I am completely drawn a blank. I just had Steam pulled open. Man. Oh, God.
See, this is one of the things that'll bug you all throughout the entire show.
Zero Company.
Okay.
Star Wars Zero Company. Very XCOM-ish, but the previews for that have been really, really well received. I mean, they've been like, hey, this is, like, they really could have lazily done something, but they've done something very, very, very well with what they've got here, with not only the property, but the story that has been written for it, the voice acting and everything else. They're all getting a lot of good praise for Zero Company. As well as the gameplay itself. I was always interested in it, but I was curious as to the closer we got, what do people who have played it, what are they saying about it? Is it good? Is it something like, there's some things that need to be tweaked? It's looking really good. But again, I want to point out with Wolverine and Zero Company, especially, I think Galactic Racer may have an online mode. I'm not sure.
I hate to mention not having one, man.
I know, right?
That is just asking for online competition in that one.
Yeah. But both of those are, again, single-player experiences. Star Wars Zero Company and Wolverine, single-player experiences that, again, price tag is up there. That I don't, I'm okay, you know? I can wait for these to kind of come down in a sale and mm-hmm. pick them up for a lot cheaper. Although I am... You know, I'm hedging everything to the fact that at some point we're going to run into, what time is it? Oh, we got to take a break. At some point we're going to run into GTA 6.
Yeah.
Which is a single player experience until they release the whole GTA Online thing for it, which they have not done yet, or have said that they haven't said anything
that's
about
gonna,
it.
Yeah, that's going to be down the line.
But that it won't be available at launch. It'll be down the line somewhere. Yeah. Again, single player experience. However, the gaming community at large is going to be swamped on that game. The discourse of almost anything relatable to games will be heavily pushed towards that. Not only because it's Grand Theft Auto, but also because so many games have backed away from that date.
Yeah, all the focus is on that game.
The talk is just going to be that because there's nothing else released for like a month. You know, a few weeks leading into November, there's nothing. a few weeks, and I don't even know if it's a few weeks, it may be weeks and weeks and weeks out from there. Again, nothing.
Late November, right? Or
I think mid-November somewhere. It's before Thanksgiving.
Just,
Is it November 16th?
No, I'm thinking about the how much time you want to wait before, between the release of the game and Christmas.
November 19th is the release. I don't think you've got anything else that releases after that that is on any kind of a radar for me.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of maybe some indies or something like that that may spring up and say, oh, hey, that was something I was looking forward to. I may want to pick that up. I don't think you get anything until sometime in February with, what is it, God of War Luffy, I think, releases in February of 27. And I think Fable got pushed. I think Fable was going to be a February release, but I think they got pushed back maybe. I can't remember. Fable may have gotten moved to February. Okay. I just know that with GTA, the shockwave of GTA landing on November 19th has pushed away everything before it. Not so much before it, but so far after it.
Yeah.
That it's pushed everything. And now everything is kind of jumbled up into like this February release date stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, point being is that all these games that I keep passing on because it's like they're single player experiences. I can play them whenever they, you know, reach a price that I'm willing to pay.
Yeah.
And when they do, I'll be flooded. You know, it's not like I don't have anything to kind of keep me busy.
We got a backlog.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I don't need to buy these little pinball things that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got Ghost of Tsushima that I have not played on my PC that I can play. Or on my PS5.
Cut?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Which they're about to release Ghost of Yote on a director's cut.
Yeah, so there was something. I got a message about that. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, that's about to get released too. And again, a game I haven't touched, played, you know, looked at it all because it's like, you know, that game will still be there when I'm ready to play it at a price that I'm ready to pay for whenever that happens. So, you know, I'm down for that. I've still got, what, Horizon Forbidden West and Horizon Zero Dawn, two games on my PC that I've not played. Yeah, I have them for PS5.
I think I got one of those for free. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah. I mean, I'm good. I'm okay.
The disc for it, too. I think I got the disc when it was like $14.99, and then like months later it was like free or something. Typically what happens with PS Plus, you'll buy a game like Greatest Hits, and then later on down the line, here it is free.
Mm.
I should have waited.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, if you wait long enough, most things will be free or very close to it.
Yeah.
Or they get delisted and you never get to play them at all.
Mm.
But, I mean, that's fine to go with if you want to go that route. But yeah, my gaming lately has been little bits and bytes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean my time sitting down with them. I mean, they're games that I can just jump into, play a little bit of, and stop when I want to.
Yeah.
With the exception of Spider-Man, start a mission, you finish the mission. And a lot of the times when you finish a mission, you kind of want to go do the next thing. It sort of like leads into the next thing that you want to go do. And you've got to, at some point, say, nope, stop here. I'll come back to it next week, tomorrow, whenever. You know.
I wonder if that's about like by design. What's that saying? Always leave them wanting more. So you get to it's hard to find like a really good stopping point.
It could be, but there is a point where last weekend I was playing Spider-Man. And going through it felt like it was boss fight after boss fight. I know it was a setup that I was doing with fighting the lizard, and then all these other things came in as far as the other story aspects came into the game. I made it to a point where it finally felt like I could breathe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was something marked on the map, and I went to it, and it was me kind of tracing an enemy that I was trying to find. And, of course, I got to that point, and something else marked on the map that wasn't too far away. And if I go to that one, keep jumping around. I knew that if I kept doing this, eventually I'm going to trigger a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's me thinking, do I have time to trigger this mission right now? Do I want to continue? Or is this a good point at where I say, pick this up another time, you know? Because I need to get the show post up. I have to check on work things at a certain time. So it's like,
sleep.
It was, this was in the morning. I'd just woken up. And so it was just me looking at it like, this is a good spot stopping point.
Yeah.
Don't go further as much as you want to, because the next little blip is like right over there. Let's go see what it is. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Stop. So I did. I stopped at that point, and, you know, we'll move on. So anyway, speaking of stopping and having to move on, we need to take a break here, and then when we come back, we'll dive into the news here. Or we'll just keep talking about our play style of games and stuff like that. There's a lot of news, but it's a lot of little quick little bits. There's not really, I mean, we could harp on AI again. We could harp on the RAM crisis and the money going up and everything else. We could continue the broken record of what we're experiencing, but maybe we'll try and skim around that this week. So here's music from SpongeBob, Titans of the Tide. I think it was a SpongeBob battler or something like that. Anyway, it's the main menu music for it. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I am perfectly happy with not doing any more of the show and just listening to the music as we go.
Yeah, I was saying, this sounds like some either some chill game or some detective, old school detective.
You would be right on both counts. I played the first installment of this last year at some point. This is the second installment. It is Duck Detective.
Okay.
The Ghost of Glamping is what it's called.
It's noir the next style.
Huh?
Noir style.
It's not, but it gives you that. I mean, because they're all animals, and the way the game is played, you know, it's not. It's definitely not anything that's LA noir type style.
The music doesn't feel like dark enough to be a noir style detective story.
It's not. Right? It's a nice little fun, little cozy type game, but it's a detective story, and of course they try to play up, because he still speaks in that whole detective way and all this other stuff. He's a duck, but still. It was fun to play, the first one was, but I was like, I don't, it was a lot, for me, it was a lot of backtracking, it was a lot of, go talk to this person, and then later on you need to go back and talk to this person, and you're trying to figure out the you know.
Well, that's the nature of an investigation.
It is.
You talk to someone one time, they don't want to give you the information, then you go find something out later that, hey, this dude held out on me on this thing.
But that was one of the things that I was annoyed with by Ace Attorney, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Ace Attorney.
Yeah.
Where you had to, you know, I remember going to an apartment and, you know, looking over everything and getting clues, and then later on, I had to go back to that apartment again and look over, and it was just annoyed me so much. Ace Attorney never caught on
for
me.
Yeah, I guess it's if you're not used to that type of thing, I could see it getting annoying. But if you've if you look at a lot of investigative type things like
that's
that.
That's how they work.
That's how they work. Sometimes there's a whole bunch of backtracking. So I guess if you're already prepped for it, it won't be as bad.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You may be right on that. We were talking about GTA before we hit the break, and there was a news story about the pre-order numbers, which we do not have. But the boss at Take-Two said the pre-order numbers are unprecedented in the gaming industry. And then that's part of the reason why the company is not revealing actual numbers. Strauss Zelnick is the guy at Take-Two. He said in an interview with Bloomberg, the GTA 6 pre-orders vastly surpassed internal expectations, but he's unsure whether they mean anything. The massive demand for pre-orders we've seen to date could reflect a pull forward of sales that otherwise would materialize in the fullness of time, he said. Zelnick said real raw data for GTA 6 pre-orders could mislead investors, so Take-Two is not going to do so. I've reminded people that we simply don't know the demand curve because it's just never happened before, Zelnick said. Given that, we think the raw numbers could potentially be misleading in a direction we wouldn't feel good about. This was during an earnings call. He said of GTA 6's pre-orders numbers, no one's ever seen anything like this before at Take-Two or in the industry. To be clear, we haven't sold one unit yet. You can cancel a pre-order. So in other words, he's just saying these are pre-orders. He said we haven't actually sold anything because the game's not out yet. We'll know what this means when the game releases, but it's a stupid thing to say. Because we have had pre-order numbers from previous games plenty of times, many times before. We have gotten pre-order numbers. Did that translate into sales at when the game finally released? Mostly yes. You know? It's one of the same things with... I know you can cancel a pre-order, but people go out and they pre-order movie tickets. We get those numbers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can cancel a pre-order on a movie ticket. I feel like you should be able to, but maybe you can't. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. I've never really pre-ordered a movie ticket other than buying it the day of.
If I was going to go see a movie, I'm going to go pay the day I go see it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe look, but then again, it's been a long time since I went to the theaters to see a movie, so something may have changed over that time. But yeah.
Yeah.
Fandango, everything's done online now, so maybe there's a limit. At a certain point, you can't get a refund on this. Maybe there's something like that going on.
I'm not exactly sure, because everything that I've paid...
The chat can let us know about that.
Yeah, everything that I paid for as far as a movie ticket's concerned, I've gone and seen the movie.
Yeah.
But I've never done, like, what are the tickets for Doomsday, which is, like, in December. Those are already on sale if you want to buy them. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. First off, I don't know what day I'm going to go see the film.
Yeah.
And if all you're doing is for like the Thursday night screenings or the Friday night screen or whatever the case may be, I don't know that I'm going to go that day or not. I don't know that I'm going to be, I mean,
something could happen.
Yeah. There used to be a time when it was, well, maybe not actually. Going back to when I used to work at the movie theater. Of course I would see them because I worked there and I was able to watch them before they aired. But, I'm trying to think of like Phantom Menace, whenever that released. I don't think you could. I think you could get in line to buy your tickets, but I don't think that was what we're seeing here, where a movie is still like 4 or 5 months out and tickets are available now, you know?
Yeah.
I think Phantom Menace may have went on sale 2 weeks ahead of time or a week ahead of time, maybe something like that. Maybe even a month if I'm being generous about it,
mm-hmm.
about my memory, but I'm not sure. But my point being is that games have released or at least been pre-ordered, and we've gotten numbers on like pre-order sales. As far as I know, I think GameStop was at console pre-orders. We've gotten numbers on those.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's pre-orders, so it's not necessarily something that you can take to investors, like he says. It's not necessarily something to say, hey, we've made this much money on this yet. No, you haven't. Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not until you release your game. And that money then gets transferred over to you.
Yeah.
Then you can say, here's how much we sold. So I guess I can kind of understand that, but it's never stopped anybody before saying, like, we've made this, you know, here's our pre-order numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We've sold this many copies in pre-orders so far. I get it. You haven't actually sold it, but you got a lot of people saying that they're planning on buying it that day. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's a little hesitant because, like you and I were saying, it's $100.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it's... $100 or it's what's the other price? 80?
80 for the trial version.
But as far as I know, and I'm not sure if the story was in this one or if it was in last week or if it was something else that I just read offhand, the $100 version is seemingly being the one people are going after, not the $80 version.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least pre-order sales show that it's $100 more than the other.
The full or the partial, which one you want. Yeah. I think it's like the numbers are the potential, how much it could potentially be.
Yeah.
But like you said, they can be canceled. They can be canceled and the number won't be as big as it is. Maybe it's like that Squaresoft situation where if you release the pre-order numbers and you do the math of what it could be, it's like not to the investors' liking, possibly something like that.
That could be the case. I'm not exactly sure what that is, why they don't say something about it. Like you said, the investors are, I guess, there's nobody who's an investor into this company is thinking that they're going to lose the farm betting on GTA 6.
But is the ROI big enough? That's what I'm trying to think.
True.
About.
I don't know what they put in on that, but I think they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I honestly, sales of this game, I think, will be through the roof. Mm-hmm. It's GTA 6. It'll be massive. It'll be something we have never seen before. Yep. And won't see again until probably the next GTA game gets released.
The next fully hyped
title
that gets released, yeah.
But will it be good? That remains to be seen.
Yeah.
The hype will be massive, but will it be something that people walk away with saying, like, this is an amazing game? This is so well written. This is so, this is fantastically done and this is whatever.
Was it fully worth the price of admission?
Was it fully worth $100? Just like you said, people are spending $100. They have expectations when you spend $100 on something.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who will have to budget for that if they want a $100 game. Mm-hmm. I know there's an $80 version, but let's talk about it in the sense that it's actually just $100. Mm-hmm. It'll review well. I think you'll see websites giving it massive numbers for it,
mm-hmm.
tens and nines all around the board type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Probably. I'm putting that out there just because I feel like review sites will run on hype more than they'll run on anything else. But a lot of the times what we see with these games is praise upon release. And then as it's been out over time,
mm-hmm.
you get more people being analytical about it, or at least kind of looking underneath it a little bit closer, giving it a lot more scrutiny, mm-hmm. to say, well, wait a second, you're correct, and then it did this, but it stumbled upon this, or it didn't do this, or it did something else that you'll come across.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who are spending $100, I feel like they're not just going to spend the $100 and then pop it in as soon as the title comes up. They're like, oh, game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're like, is this $100 worth? Once they get into it. I'm not saying they're going to be disappointed either way.
No.
At that point, they're going to be looking at it a little bit closer because of how much they spend on that game.
Is there any doubt in your mind? I know this is completely speculative, but is there any doubt in your mind that this game is not going to make Game of the Year?
So, my memory is not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need to go back and look at some of the releases that we've had this year to kind of figure out if that's going to be the case.
It's like the most popular at the latest time, that type of thing.
Right.
Gets it because the game that was awesome in February tends to get like maybe forgotten or something like that.
You would be right, but mm-hmm. let's go with the Game Awards that comes out in December, right?
Mm-hmm.
The big winner at the Game Awards was, you remember this year?
What was it? Clair Obscur?
Yeah.
Yeah, Clair Obscur.
You know when that released?
No.
February.
February. Okay, yeah. February. Okay.
Yeah.
So I remembered. Okay.
So that's – but normally you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Normally that is the case. Games that release in February don't sort of either get remembered by the time the awards come around, or – something else has come along to not necessarily dethrone it. Clair Obscur was very, very good. But something else has come along to sort of match up to it, or at least be a little bit more present of mind to people who are voting.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can absolutely get the spotlight stolen if you're not careful in that regard from when you release a game like that. GTA 6 hits in November, and I don't know what the cutoff is for game submissions for the Game Awards. So I don't know if it'll be included in this year or if it makes it over to next year. I don't know what the cutoff is. Mm-hmm. I think they're okay. I would think they would be included, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what? We have the internet at our disposal. Let's look it up. Video Game Awards cutoff date. There we go. No. I don't want to know when the show ends. So last year, the eligibility cutoff for games was November 21st.
November 20th.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes. This says it. According to this AI overview, thank you, Google, will GTA 6 be eligible for the 2026 Game Awards? Yes. Grand Theft Auto 6, scheduled for release November 19th, falls just inside the typical late November eligibility cutoff for the Game Awards. The estimated cutoff date is around November 20th. So it will make it in just barely.
Wow, the day before the cutoff date is when this game gets released.
Seemingly, yes, that is the case. I'm looking here at the FAQ for the Game Awards. Let's see, how can I watch the show? The awards process. How are nominees, select nominees, how are the winners? It does not say. Eligibility dates for the Game Awards 2026 will be announced in fall of 2026. So they can change that date if they want to. They know when GTA 6 is releasing. They can say, the cutoff date is November 1st. November 18th is the cutoff date. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make it. It'll have to be next year, something like that. We'll see. I don't know. That's a good question to see. We don't actually know because they have not announced it yet. But That is something that we'll have to wait and find out. I got to go back and look and see what released this year, because I feel like there's some other stuff in there. Did Silksong get released this year?
Let's see.
Hollow Knight 2 Silksong? Or was that last year?
I'm not sure. Let's see. I was just looking up.
I thought it was this year.
Probably was. Silksong?
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
That was Hollow Knight 2, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Silk.
Silksong release date. It was released September. What? No. That was last year? Oh, no. That's Hollow Knight. No. I'm looking for Hollow Knight 2.
Let's see. Hollow Knight was Hollow Knight was February 5th in 2026.
What?
Hollow Knight.
This says initial release date was September 4th of 2025, so it's already released.
Yeah.
And that was the sequel. I apologize. See, this is the problem with my memory. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what's come out. I have to go back and I have to look and see what was released to let you know that, like, hey, here's a contender for Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. Whether I played it or not, I can just look at something. I can tell you what people have talked about or not to see if it's going to stack up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can get 2026. Oh, Jesus. This is giving me everything, so I'm a little bit like I'm looking through here right now. I wish I had something that would give me.
Which site you on right now?
I'm on Wikipedia.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find something.
I'm looking at all these titles and nothing's really standing out right now.
That's nothing. Dispatches. Nope, that's a port. Never mind. Karen. I have to say that. Karen came out January 29th. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll, you know, be in there. I think it'll get some stuff for, like, you know, indies or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Goodness. Okay, I've gone through a lot of months and nothing's sticking out.
See, that says port for Hollow Knight. Yeah.
Well, there's your Indiana Jones game.
That was in December of last year.
Uh-oh.
No, December of the year before.
No. It's been a port then, I guess.
It likely was. It probably came out on the Switch. See, a lot of Switch 2 is really throwing things off.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of games, when Switch 2 got released, a lot of games are getting around to, like, getting their ports finally released. And it's like, yeah, you know, that came out, you know, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's getting a Switch 2 release, which gives it it came out this year, but not really. It was just a port.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ports as I'm looking through here. So far, this looks like a really crappy year. I'm only in February, though, like mid-February, and I'm not seeing anything that is like, hey, remember this? This was really good. And it's like, no, I don't.
Not so good that I remember it. So,
I don't even think Blueprints wasn't even this year. That was last year. It did make it to the Switch 2 this year in March, but that's mm-hmm. a port, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make it to the release.
Was Avowed was a port?
Oh, there's Marathon. Yeah. That'll make Game of the Year, sure.
Was Avowed a port?
What was it?
Avowed.
Yeah, for PS5.
Oh, okay, yeah. Port.
Yep, absolutely. Pokemon Pocopia, but I don't think that's going to... I think that'll win maybe some awards on the Switch 2 or something like that, but I don't think so. Yeah, it seems like GTA 6 has a really good chance here. I'm in March.
Requiem? Resident Evil Requiem had a bunch of folks talking back in February.
February? Well, I didn't see that.
Resident Evil Requiem?
What day?
February 27th.
I am not seeing a release. Now, according to this is on the wiki here.
Okay.
This is a problem. My Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. Resident Evil. Okay, there it is. February 22nd, Resident Evil Requiem.
Okay, 22nd?
All right, yeah. Okay. No, 27th. You were right. 27th. Okay. 27th. Resident Evil Requiem did get released this year. So there you go. Fine.
what we got? One title in February?
For the most part, yes.
Oh, man. March isn't looking that good. Well, you did say Marathon, but that's not.
I know.
It's memorable for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, there's MLB The Show.
I ain't making no. That's not making an award.
Death Stranding 2, but that's a port. That's a port. I'm sorry. I just see nothing but port. It's not great.
Yeah. Doesn't look like a lot of competition.
I feel like they exist. I'm just not coming across them. I don't know why. I feel like didn't we get some good releases this year? But they're South of Midnight, but that was a port.
Yeah. Pragmata in April.
Right, Capcom, okay. Pragmata.
Yeah, yep. Capcom's having a good
great year.
Yeah, they were having a good run of games this year, so yeah.
They're doing okay.
Okay, so Pragmata, definitely that's a possibility for that. Let's see.
Mouse PI for Hire. I heard a lot of stuff about the game, but as a game of the year, no.
No.
Pragmata, I doubt it'll hit game of the year, but that's not bad. Vampire Crawlers, that was pretty huge. Will it be game of the year? No.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll get a lot of, like, little smaller rewards for, you know, indie stuff and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there is just not a lot here. I mean, we're only in April. About to be out of April.
Yep.
That's an expansion. That's also a port.
Well, we have talked about the lack of originality in some of these games coming out.
And looking at these things,
and things like that.
There's a good one. Saros from Housemarque, released on the PS5. Those are the guys that did Returnal.
Mm-hmm.
The bullet hell stuff, but in a 3D space.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of good things about Saros. A lot of good things about Saros. I think you get it. Once you get into May, I think you're going to get some more in there because there's Saros. There is the 007.
Yeah, First Light. Yeah.
First Light. Subnautica 2 went into early access. I don't know if that counts. I don't know what that means in that regard.
I don't think it does.
Yeah.
Full releases only.
Forza Horizon 6, you rarely see a racer type thing. You rarely see any kind of a sports classification make it into a game of the year.
Yeah, you're not going to see that. Yeah.
Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight that came out in May. There's a contender for maybe being on that list. It was quite good. 007 First Light, like we said. Got a late release there. Mina the Hollower. I don't know that it'll make a game of the year, but I know it'll get a lot of indie love in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to go through the whole thing, even though I'm almost gone through the whole thing. I was going to check and see, make sure our chat room hasn't gone nuts by like listing all these different games where I'm not sure where they're throwing out all this stuff. It's not a lot. There's a remaster. There's an original. Mecha Chameleon. That thing has done amazingly well. I don't know that it'll hit game of the year type status, but Jesus, that game has done insanely well. We've got a new story on it that we'll get to because we need to take a break here. But it's not a lot.
Mm-mm.
It's really not a lot here. Port. It's all ports, man.
At this point, it feels like a shoe-in. At this point,
man. The interesting thing here is as I go through this, I'm like, you know what? I have skipped some games, but not many that I kind of want to go play because these are all ports. God, this is horrible. It's interesting when you look at it on this grid that I'm looking at for Wikipedia here,
mm-hmm.
where you get all these games and I'm like, oh, hey, good game. And then I look over, it's like port remaster. It's like, oh, that came out sometime else on some other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not... You know, it's not part of it. Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they come up with their game of the years.
Which games are going to be nominated for
this year. Yeah, man. I mean, we still got time. We got Star Wars Zero Company, which will probably get some kind of nomination. We got Wolverine, which will probably get a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this now because Halo Campaign Evolved... Wait, no, that's a remake.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them to throw that in the Game of the Year category, though.
The Halo one?
That's a good question, dude. I don't know.
Hmm.
It shouldn't be because it's a remake, but I think we've gone down this road before, haven't we?
Or a remake got put in the Game of the Year.
Didn't we? I mean, it added new content, but it didn't. Yeah, I feel like we did, but maybe not.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I'm not sure, but I feel like we've gone down this path already.
Yeah.
I'm at the end of July here, and really you've got hardly anything that I could look at and consider it as being added to the list of Game of the Year nominations. Beast of Reincarnation, maybe, that just released. Big Walk, very likely. I mean, I don't know if you judge it by the popularity of it, how much it's sold, that sort of thing, but Big Walk, Mecha Chameleon, they've done fantastic. They all look like crap games, and I don't mean that in a sense that they are crap or that they look like something that would be crap. I'm just saying they're not flashy graphic type stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not this...
They're not AAA.
Yeah, they're absolutely not. They're selling like AAAs, but they're not AAA releases. It's a really good... It'll be really interesting to see, man. Fighting Souls, Marvel Tokon Fighting Souls. Will it be in the game? No. I go back to the fact that your sports titles, like your fighting games, mm-hmm. rarely end up in the Game of the Year categories.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, looking through that, and I'm in August now where we're at currently, and it is just not a lot to look at here for what we've got. And I could go further into the future.
Provided not push back.
Right, but I don't want to do that because the game hasn't been released yet, and we don't know.
Yeah.
Is it gonna be good or not? I don't know. So there you go. We got to take a break because we're way behind. We'll come back and hit more news right after this on In Game Chat. Oh yeah! By the way, here is music from a game called Demon School. This just says Wednesday Battle. So there you go. We'll be right back. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is music from Detective Instinct. Farewell, My Beloved. It's the title screen. A lot of detective games apparently came out. Some of the news making the rounds. The Halloween game is being banned in Australia. This is not the first time we've heard of games doing this. Apparently over drug use. Halloween the game set to launch in September on Xbox, PS5, and PC, but not if you're playing in Australia or New Zealand, as the upcoming slasher game has been denied classification over its in-game use of drugs. The social media account for Halloween the Game on August 9th responded to someone asking about the Australian version of the game on PS5 with some bad news that said that the classification has denied a rating for them, not because of all the killing and the gore, but because drug use. Despite every effort on our part, the Australian Classification Board has denied Halloween the Game a rating. The denial was not based on the presence of the iconic slasher Michael Myers or the outstanding kills that can be performed in the game, but rather the presence of a controlled substance. Unfortunately, to our disappointment and certainly yours, this means that we cannot sell the physical or digital product in both Australia and New Zealand. So does that mean, like, Max Payne, your health bar was popping pills. Like, you increased your, you healed yourself.
Yeah, you're,
by taking pills.
Yeah, to take the red out of your,
yeah.
Shadow icon figure, yeah, you popped up some painkillers.
Was that banned in Australia? I'm not sure. I don't know.
They banned Bayonetta.
Over drug use?
I don't know what they banned it for, but the fact that the only country that had the limited edition of Bayonetta with the model of Scarborough Fair, Bayonetta's weapons, and it was only sold in Australia, but they banned the game or didn't give it a rating. Couldn't get hold of it.
This says it's believed the ACB, the Australian Classification Board, specifically denied Halloween a rating because the upcoming horror game lets players consume drugs like weed to gain in-game advantages and bonuses. Digital drugs giving players perks have caused problems for other games in the past. Famously, Fallout 3 changed the healing drug morphine to Med X to get around that ban.
Okay.
In other words, they made a fictitious drug.
Yeah.
Changed the name. That was okay.
Yeah.
However, this has had... this has made some... It all goes back to the same thing, doesn't it? This has made GTA 6 fans a little worrisome that that game might get banned in Australia and New Zealand. Some GTA players living in Australia and New Zealand are concerned that the upcoming open world game could run into similar issues, either prompting changes to content, just like Fallout did, or leading to the game being banned from sale. Adding to the concerns is that last month, GTA Online banned Australian players from gambling in the game's casino years after it was added. It's believed this was due to some recent regulation changes, but it has some players in Australia nervous that Rockstar might not be able to sell GTA 6 in the country. What's likely to happen is that GTA 6 will not be changed or denied a rating. Grand Theft Auto 5 launched in Australia with the country's highest rating a game can get, primarily due to the drug usage, and the game still contains references to weed, meth, and other illicit substances. A game as massive as GTA 6 will likely be able to avoid an outright ban, and instead will get slapped with the R18 plus rating. So give Halloween the R18 plus rating. This kind of smells a little bit. What's the thing? Doesn't pass the smell test type thing?
Yeah.
Like, why do you just have to be?
If GTA 6 wasn't as hype as it was, it would have.
That's my point.
It would have. Yeah.
That's my point. You. Well, we'll let that slide. Why? Because people
it's too big of a product.
Yeah.
That's why.
Places are going to make money off of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's too big of a product to outright not allow being sold.
Now, I'll say this. I'm not saying there's like underhandedness going on. I'm not saying that Rockstar, Take-Two, have slid some money under the table to the Australian ratings board saying like, just give us the highest rating and let us play. I don't think anything like that is going on. Whereas Halloween can't afford to do that. GTA 6 can. I don't think that's it. I think it's more
of... Or just told them how much is going to hurt your country's economy of doing that or something like that.
Maybe, I guess. I don't know. I think GTA 6 would survive regardless if it could be played in Australia or not. I just think there is... That's just... If there was a way for them to appeal that, I wish they could. The Halloween folks. Like, I wish that they could appeal that and say, well, then, if you can let that game go through... Like, they won't fight it. I don't think they have the money to fight it. I don't think they have the time to fight it. But I wish that they could. But then again, I think if they had the money to fight it, the ratings board would have just said, we'll give you the 18 plus and let you play. But since they don't have that money to fight it, nope, you're banned. Go away. Because you can't come at us at court because you won't. You can't afford it. The money that you would make otherwise does not equal the amount you would spend litigating the situation. So it's easy for us, you know, it's easier for us to just ban you because you're smaller. But if you can do it, you know, although at the same time, I mean, I'm not sure. Could the guys at Halloween change something for the Australians like Fallout did? I don't know. Could they remove...
Call weed another name or something like that?
Yeah, could they remove it or give it some other title or do something different that could get it past that maybe? Yeah. Honestly, I don't think it should be on them. Again, if GTA 6 can get through, and I know you're comparing a giant to an ant in comparison, you know, GTA 6 being this massive title, Halloween being just this smaller, much smaller title by comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. So, anyway. Wish it was different. Is that Dave blowing up my phone? Yep, sure is. He says the devil's lettuce strikes again. He says jazz cigarettes. I always heard it called jazz cabbage. The devil's lettuce, jazz cabbage, wacky tobacky, you know? So.
I think someone said that about cilantro. Something about the devil with cilantro because of some people who can't taste it. It tastes like soap to some people.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could call it the devil's lettuce. Just take nasty. I'm glad I don't have that gene that makes me taste cilantro as soap. But at the same time, I'm never ordering food and being like, load that up with cilantro, would you? I've never done that. If it comes with it, I'm like, sure, that's fine, whatever. But like, if it comes with pickles, I'm like, could I get extra pickles or could I get extra onions? I've never gone and been like, could I get, you know, double the order of cilantro?
You ever make guacamole?
I've never made it, no.
Yeah, I've done it before and did like one of the recipes that calls for cilantro.
Yeah.
So I have to chop it up and do all that stuff all the time. So yeah, I think that's the only time I've ever had to use it that way.
I know,
so,
but
yeah.
I've never asked for extra.
Mm-hmm.
I've never asked for more than what they've offered because it's cilantro.
Yeah.
I can barely taste it as is.
Really?
Well, mixed with everything else. I mean, if I just eat cilantro outright, sure. But if I'm eating it in mixed in a dish, this has gone so far off rails. If I'm eating it mixed in a dish, I don't really taste it, you know?
Okay.
I guess maybe if I asked for extra or they loaded it up, I probably could.
Yeah.
But it's not a topping that I've wanted extra of.
Yeah.
I don't have them remove it, but I also don't have them add more of it.
You're indifferent to it.
Very much.
Okay.
Very, very much.
Yeah.
If you remove it, it doesn't lose the... maybe in guac it does. I have no idea. If you remove cilantro out of guacamole, does guacamole then taste different?
Yeah. To me, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never made it, nor have I ever said, could you not put your cilantro into the guac? I've never... I don't know. Dude, I don't know.
Have the folks know Halloween, the game. Turn it into cilantro.
That's true. Yes, to make that. Well, they're smoking cilantro. There's those teens, man, smoking that cilantro out under the bleachers.
It's
oh,
green.
Boy.
Look, it's green. It's leafy. You can pass the part. There you go. Let's go with that. Hey, give them an idea. Send that message to them. Call it cilantro, and they'll let
I caught
it go
the
through.
Kids smoking cilantro again.
Look, it worked for Fallout. Morphine, Med-X.
Med-X.
Yeah. Marijuana, cilantro. Close enough. Let's go.
There's got to be other games that have used drug stuff that have made it through Australia.
Oh, plenty. Plenty.
I can't imagine every game that has drug use has not made it into Australian stores. Although
smoking, drinking.
Yeah. All that.
Yeah.
Although, from what I understand about Australia, and it's not much when it concerns video games, I believe... the prices on their video games are like the price for GTA 6 in Australia is probably got to be here. Let's look it up.
Mm-hmm.
GTA 6 price in Australia. The ultimate edition of GTA 6 in Australia is $160. Australian dollars. The regular edition is $130. That's the situation. Like Australia has always had massive prices on video games.
Mm-hmm.
They always have. I remember we used to know a guy back in the Colony of Gamers days. He was in Australia, and every time we would talk about some game, you know, he would tell us how much it costs where he's at, and we're just like, why?
Mm-hmm.
What is the why? It's ridiculous.
I was just looking up Canada. It was like 140.
Goof. That's for the ultimate edition,
ultimate,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ultimate edition. Yeah.
Canada's got expensive game prices as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the importing or something? I don't know.
Mm.
I'm not exactly sure.
Is it still the most expensive was ever was a Steel Battalion or
Feels like that was the most expensive here.
Yeah.
Which probably was, but that was because of the controller.
You think about what it came with, yeah, so.
Again, and it goes back to your point. Usually when I spend that kind of money on a game, I'm getting more than just the game.
Yeah.
But yeah. What else do we have for our news? We talked about Big Walk earlier when we were going through the list of games that have released this year. Big Walk sold 1 million copies in less than a week. Mecha Chameleon has sold 20 million copies in 2 months. The game is massive. Successfully, it's just unreal. The game's developer posted a sales milestone update today, announcing sales are fast, staggering 20 million copies. It sold its first 15 million copies in only a month. So it has slowed down a bit, but an extra 5 million sales in 1 month is a result most other game makers would clamor for. I was curious as to how much it cost to develop that game to see what kind of profit they made off of that.
How many folks worked on it total?
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Let's take a break now to catch back up, because I want to hit this thing about Saber. If you guys have followed along, AC Wraith meant to tell us about turning off the Twitch thing. There's a thing in Twitch. I think it was AC Wraith, or was it Thar? No, it was AC Wraith. Twitch has something now where they take your videos that you put on Twitch and they use that for their AI to learn stuff. And it is an opt-out type thing. In other words, you're automatically opted in. So you have to go and find a way to opt out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right, an article that I saw a headline for said the reason they made it an opt-out feature is because nobody would opt in on it if given the choice.
Yeah.
Which to me tells me it's like, well, then it tells me, no, this is what a business is going to do, right?
Yeah.
Business is going to business. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And let me tell you about this Saber Interactive thing. I don't ever, and this sucks to say, but I don't ever want to own anything from Saber ever again. Which I looked at their list of games on Steam anyway, and thankfully, I don't own any of them. Unfortunately, they have some games that are on their lineup that I was very interested in.
Was.
Yes, I know. Now, they can turn that around. They can make good. And I don't necessarily know if redeem themselves, but maybe redeem themselves enough that I would maybe play one of their games, depending on how good it is, I suppose. But yeah, we'll see about that. But at this point, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And we'll tell you why coming up in just a bit. Here is music from Marvel Cosmic Invasion. This is the track for Fort Galactus. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Constance. Track is called Academy. You'll be happy to know it through the process of Twitch to turn off the training for generative AI. Go to your Twitch account. Go to settings. When you get there, go to the security and privacy tab. Scroll almost all the way down to the bottom for me. And it said it was already marked as on, but allow your channel content to train generative AI content models at Amazon. Turning this off does not opt you out of Twitch and Amazon using your channel content for other purposes described in the Twitch privacy notice, including using AI-supported Twitch features that benefit the community by facilitating streamer growth and monetization and community safety as well, along with viewer discovery. Anyway, I turned it off, so yeah, we are not supporting that. Which brings me to the situation with Saber Interactive. I think is correct. Is that what it's called? Saber. Is that Saber Interactive? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Saber. Boy, it's really, I'm pulling up both stories here. Earlier this week, it was reported that a trailer for Saber's rideshare, stimulator? I thought it was called simulator. Is it called Rideshare Stimulator? That sounds wrong. No, it's called Rideshare Stimulator. Okay. Anyway, I've been looking up the wrong game. I've typed it as simulator each time. It was reported that Saber's Rideshare Stimulator contained digs aimed at Gearbox president Randy Pitchford in response to criticism aimed at former parent company Embracer Group in Borderlands 4. That's not the point I'm trying to get here. Saber CEO Matt Karch confirmed that the jokes in the trailer were indeed aimed at Pitchford, but the story caught the eye of a former lead writer, Stella Sacco, who then claimed on Blue Sky that she had been replaced on Rideshare Stimulator in favor of AI writing tools. I didn't see this had been announced, Sacco posted. I was lead writer on this one, and Saber replaced me with ChatGPT midway through development. All the passenger voices were AI too, she added. Either they changed direction at some point, or they're not disclosing it on Steam. Sacco then posted a screenshot of a message she wrote on Facebook back in December of 2023, which read, I got replaced on one of my games at work with ChatGPT. She also claimed that her boss tried to push back against the decision to start using AI in the game, and that she tried to tell, is it that guy who I just mentioned, the CEO? She tried to tell the CEO that players would only become less in favor over time. My boss, to his credit, argued over and over with the C-level executive who pushed the AI. We already have Stella, and she's funny, and she's good at this. She's done live games before, so live ops are no problem, etc. But the suit insisted gamers love new tech, so using AI would be great marketing. She added, when this edict came down, I warned the CEO who made the AI push that players hated AI. This was back in December of 2023. And they'd hate it even more by the time the game came out. I told him this pushback would happen. He didn't listen to me. He didn't listen to my boss. He seemingly didn't listen to anyone at all. Responding to Sacco's claim, Saber provided a statement to PC Gamer denying that it replaced her or any other writer with AI, but stating that it was indeed using AI in the game's development, something that has not been disclosed on the game's Steam page. Neither Saber nor have replaced any writers with AI for Rideshare or any other game, the studio told the publication. In fact, Saber's staff of writers has tripled since 2023. Rideshare's story was written entirely by real people. The game will also feature an experimental free ride mode that by necessity incorporates AI as the number of passengers in the game is infinite. We are firm believers in using AI tools to improve or enhance gameplay experiences and improve NPC behavior as we have done since Saber was founded in 2001. As the industry has continued to contract, Saber continues to hire. None of our 3,000-plus employees have to worry about being replaced by AI. Go through all of that. Saber Interactive went on to deny that claim, but now its CEO has confirmed that he would have done so in retrospect. He blasted the former Saber developer while promoting AI in a new personal statement on the controversy that admits generative AI is used in the game. Saber Interactive pushed back to a statement on PC Gamer. We talked about that. The game will also feature that blah, blah, blah. Sacco responded to the response by doubling down, saying, "I was there. It was my job to write the game, and then it wasn't once Matt Karch decided using ChatGPT would be great publicity for the game," she told PC Gamer. She then proceeded to elaborate on social media. "My boss, to his credit," we've gone over this. And then Matt has now weighed in directly on the matter in a new statement to This Week in Video Games. The Saber CEO personally attacked the former Saber developer as being replaced by someone more talented, but didn't deny that generative AI is involved in certain parts of the game, which will eventually be disclosed on Rideshare's Steam page. "Stella who?" he commented. "I had to ask Claude because I have never spoken to her or seen her," even though her statement says that she did talk to him, by the way. Back to what his quote says. "We have already said we are using AI for certain parts of the game, and we'll update the Steam page once we have finalized the feature state or the feature set." He continued, "Let me clarify that the entire story script, were it to win an award, would go to someone who can walk up on stage and receive it. It was always our intention to reveal this until Stella violated her confidentiality clause and revealed this before we were ready. We look at our use of AI in this particular game, which will be a lower price title, as a plus for consumers. As far as Stella is concerned, she was replaced by someone more talented and terminated for a variety of reasons a few months later. From what I can gather, she enjoys controversy even more than I do. I would frankly, in retrospect, have been happy to replace her with AI. At least we would be dealing with someone programmed to be honest." Sacco followed, but this is the other writer. She followed by claiming that Karch was lashing out due to not wanting people to know the extent to which AI was used in the game. "Everything I said was true," she added. "Here's more truth. That statement is remarkably pathetic for the CEO of any company to be making, and combined with the AI use, it will do far more damage to Saber's reputation than it ever could to mine. This screed will be many people's first exposure to the Saber brand. The controversy and how Matt Karch has dealt with it certainly hasn't helped Saber on the Rideshare Steam page. An otherwise quiet discussion section is now full of people arguing over the game's use of AI for certain aspects and its failure to disclose that on Valve's storefront. The company leaves it up to studios and publishers to be honest about what amount of generative AI is used in their games and how. For now, Rideshare will be known as the game that initially hid its use of AI from people who wishlisted it and whose publisher decided to attack the person who blew the whistle on that." Here's one of the comments that they, one of the comments from this thing says, they quoted that one thing where the guy says, "I had to ask Claude because I have never spoken to her or seen her." Their response was, "This Matt Karch guy seems to think that saying this is a flex, but admitting in a PR statement that my brain is atrophied into jelly because I rely on Claude to do all my thinking for me is really not the flex he imagines it is." Somebody else says, "I'm not a business or leadership expert, but I also can't imagine flexing that you have never spoken to your lead writer probably isn't that good either." The response was just insane on that. He seems really, really upset.
Everything went downhill the moment he said Stella who.
I know, right?
That went as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, shit.
Do you really think? So I went and I looked because I'm like, what do I own from Saber? Because I'm like, really, is this sounds like a company I'm going to avoid. And I'm pretty good. There's nothing here. There's a whole bunch of DLC. There's a whole bunch of games that honestly I don't really have a lot of interest in at the moment. There's some games that haven't come out yet. There's Jurassic Park Survival. It is I would say a survival horror, but you know, you're kind of in Jurassic Park trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in that, but survival horror people probably would be. Turok Origins has still yet to be released. That's one of theirs. Another one that was kind of interested in, it comes out in October, but it's Hellraiser Revival. I don't know how that game plays, but it's a Hellraiser game, and I was kind of curious as to what that was going to be. Mm-hmm. The two that I am interested in, we only got a title reveal, I think, over E3. We didn't get anything else, but it was the John Wick game. Mm-hmm. It's an untitled John Wick game, and I'm like, man, if they can pull off a John Wick game, that might be really, really good. I know we've got another John Wick game currently. It's a very almost like indie type title. It's not a big AAA title. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it's called, but it got some good reviews for what it was. Mm-hmm. But I was like, man, if they can really, you know, like sort of mix Max Payne with Sifu maybe or something like that, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But some kind of, you know, really good, you could make a good John Wick game. It's got potential. The other one, and this is the one that's going to hurt, but this is the one I'll stand by, the revitalization of the Stuntman franchise, mm-hmm. with the driving and the cars and that sort of thing, especially since they were borrowing from the Universal titles with what do they have? Back to the Future in there, Fast and Furious, I think, was in there. There's something else that I'm forgetting. A lot of movie cars. But still, Stuntman I was a big fan of. But that's another one of theirs that is going to get released. So other than that, though, there's nothing else that I own or have interest in playing of theirs. So I think I'm okay. Yeah, John Wick Hex. That's what it was called. I remember that getting okay reviewed, I believe. It's like an isometric type shooter or something like that. But it actually was, hey, it's not bad type thing. But I haven't played it, so I don't know. I just remember it not reading that it was a bad game, put it that way. Anyway, I almost had forgotten about that news article. Because I remember when I was reading it, I was like, this is really bad, man. For the record, I'm really against AI. I'm especially against AI. AI used to not necessarily code your game, but to find errors in your code, that's fine. I mean, I know that's what playtesters are for, but you're still going to go through the playtesting process regardless. Because even if it, you know, can't find those bugs or something like that, or if you've got to write code, and I don't necessarily know much about writing code, but if you have to write, I don't know how many lines of code, and you can just tell AI, write this, and for every third one, remove something else, and it does it for you, that's fine. Text-based AI, I'm not necessarily too much against when it's something that you have done. In other words, if I write a sentence and I tell them, copy that sentence 15 times, you know, okay, you wrote the original, and then it just copies it 15 times. You can cut and paste if you want to, but whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Because they use ChatGPT to write the story. I don't know how they did it to write the story, but that's fine. But I mean, I'm absolutely against doing that, especially if you have a lead writer, let them write the story. I have no idea what kind of story you write out of Rideshare Stimulator. I'm not sure. It seems like one of those things. It's like, not much of a story here for this, but maybe it does. Regardless, they replaced her on that. What else have, you know, what else could they replace on it? Mm-hmm. What other games in the future would they just put AI on? So, no. I'm just, that's, and the way they just handled it was the other kind of, you know, straw.
Yeah.
That sort of was like, well, you could have been a little bit more diplomatic about this.
Professional.
And even if you're professional, diplomatic, yeah. Whatever. You're exactly right. You could have been better in the response.
Because Stella Who ain't it.
But the response was just like, well, it doesn't even matter now. Mm-hmm. You're kind of a, you know, I'm just not going to support you in that regard. I feel like more will come of this. And I don't necessarily mean more information or more things will come to light. But I feel like more will come of this in the sense that, games won't sell as well. the discourse will get louder and louder over what they've done, and they'll either have to write a retraction or an apology or something will have to come of it. Mm-hmm. I feel like it. Something will come for them to have to save face, or something may come out. I would love to say that something will come out to show that there was some sort of miscommunication in the whole thing. Yeah. But given the way he responded in that, I don't think there will be. Like, I think she's got more receipts than they do, you know, to say, oh, here's other things that happened too, and I've got all this stuff to prove it. Mm-hmm. While they all respond with, who is this person you're talking about? I don't know who this is.
Yeah, that's the screw up right there. You're going to deny the existence of someone you, like you said earlier, your head writer.
Yeah.
Of the game.
You're not going to know your lead writer?
That doesn't make sense. So you're already shifty.
So, total shift.
So what's going on here? We're missing something from you on this thing.
Right. And I don't think they've got any, especially if that's the response. Now, it's a response that he made. I don't necessarily know that he made it on behalf of the company, but given that he's the CEO.
But it's tied to him.
You're responding on behalf of the company. This is why people put that stuff in their, they used to, I don't know if they still do, but people used to put that stuff in their Twitter where it's like, oh man, they're showing the Eagles. Yeah. Sorry, we got news on in here and we lost one of the Eagles. On Monday. I think it was Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
She passed away. Anyway, neither here nor there. I figure that that response was enough to say that, you know, if this is how you're going to handle these things, then I don't need to support that, you know? So that's it. We're at the end of our rope, or at least the end of our time here on the show. So I want to thank everybody that joined us in the chat room. I want to thank everybody, Dave, who's listening somewhere, but he's sending me texts. Thank you to Dave. RJ, thank you for coming in as well.
No problem.
Hope you guys have a fantastic week ahead. We got a few more weeks before we're going to take off, but of course, Labor Day weekend here in the States, we will be taking that weekend off, but it's still like 3 weeks away, I think, so... Anyway, we hope you guys have a fantastic week. Enjoy it. We'll see you next time on In-Game Chat. I'm going to leave you here with a game. I don't know if this released on PC or if this was a mobile release. I don't think it was. It's Bubble Bobble, but it's called Sugar Dungeons, which honestly sounds like a weird nickname. Come here, Sugar Dungeons. I don't know. Anyway, Bubble Bobble Sugar Dungeons. We'll see you next Saturday here on In-Game Chat. Have a great week. I might not let this play as long as it is. That sounds really annoying.